Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
This is the Make It Right podcast. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Janet Eastman, and on this show, we're looking at technology in manufacturing and how to pay for it. Advanced manufacturing and IIoT are revolutionizing how things are made, but kitting out your factory to move in this direction is costly, and that's no matter how large and successful your company. Coming up with the cash to cover that expense is not going to be easy. And ultimately, your customers don't want to pay a lot more for the same product, no matter how fancy your factory. So today, my guest is Greg Thomas. He's managing director at 375 Park Associates, a strategic growth advisory firm which helps private equity firms investing in middle market companies overcome challenges in their portfolio. And Greg joins me now from Hong Kong. Greg, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, Jenny.
So what are some of the costs that companies need to consider when they're looking to move into advanced manufacturing and IIoT?
I think there's six that kind of come to mind, at least based on the experience I've had talking with clients over the past few years. And those, obviously, the capital expense for the machines. But I think also now we're getting into conversations about software licensing costs, systems integration, you know, the training for the operators, maintenance and updates, and security. And while these costs can add up quickly, you know, some are known at the onset, and others, for example, maintenance, updates, and security, can actually be a death by a thousand paper cuts.
Yeah, because you're constantly doing those things, aren't you?
Yes, and for manufacturers where, let's say, it's their first foray into IIoT or connected machines in general, you know, it's something they haven't done before, and it might not even be part of their procurement cycle.
Okay. So I'm guessing that this capital expense is a huge deterrent, but standing still in today's manufacturing landscape isn't an option. So what should business leaders be asking themselves as they start planning to move forward?
Well, I think pulling no punches here, I would say, you know, what you need to do is you need to run the risk of analysis paralysis today. And, you know, as such, boards are probably best served by adopting something they know from the product development function, for example, the stage gate process. This is because the need and financial position of every manufacturer is different. So there's really no one size fits all solution. You know, in some cases, the need for integration and automation might be the only way to stave off low cost competition, while in other situations, capital expense might be the hurdle. And as such, manufacturers need to have a clear understanding of what it will take to break even and by when, you know, for a particular investment. As the process would start with scoping, you know, and then you'd move into developing a business case. Then there's the technical design, which in this case, you know, could be value stream mapping or confirming, you know, the operating parameters. And then from there, we have the testing and validation. As you can see, this all starts to fit together. And say from a management perspective, it becomes much easier to see. It becomes more transparent. And then it makes it easier to make those decisions. You know, as Deming said, you know, in God we trust, but all others must bring data.
So let's talk a little bit about value stream mapping. Explain what that is and how that would work for a manufacturer.
Okay, well, you throw me a bit out there because I'm not really a manufacturing engineer, and it's been a few years since I was a full-time management consultant. Okay. Basically, what you're doing is you're putting the entire process down on paper and trying to see how it flows from from beginning to end, and then looking at each process and determining which one, you know, adds value and which one doesn't add value. I think one of the worst things that I've seen happen is when a manufacturer buys a new machine, or you know, it even predating, you know, the fourth industrial revolution and connected machines and all that. Buying a new machine and then not really having an idea how it's going to fit into their overall manufacturing process, and that sort of potential improvement can actually create bottlenecks, which could make them less competitive than they were, you know, before. I think for that reason, if you're talking about plugging, and let's just talk in terms of, you know, capital investment, a new machine on your factory floor, you've got to see how it will how it will merge with what you're making today, how it will fit into the flow of what you're trying to make, and the information that you need to run that machine, and then the information you get from that machine. Is it something that's going to add value, not just to that one process, but to the entire system?
Right. Okay. So presumably then there are factories that say, okay, we'll just buy this massive machine. It's going to help fix it's going to fix everything. And yet you run into these hurdles where you don't really know where the whole thing fits. And then you just get another additional complication, I guess, then.
Certainly. I mean, you can go to any factory floor anywhere in the world and you'll find that. And part of it's because decisions are being made in a vacuum and without any real connection to what's happening on the factory floor. And again, as I said, how this whole system is together. Going back to your question about the value stream mapping or even what we call like a value stream walk, you've got to walk through the entire process and get a deep understanding and a feel for how all the pieces fit together.
Okay. So when you're creating a plan for the future and prior to making any investment, are there solutions that can be implemented now that can help improve output, or do you even have to actually buy that huge machine or whatever? Like, are there other solutions out there for manufacturers?
Well, I think the answer to that is a bit complicated, because if we look at business process improvement, and now it's become a 30 or 40 or 50 year kind of endeavor for a number of organizations, starting to reach a point, especially those that are high performing, where they basically maxed out their ability to gain incremental improvements from their process and from their, you know, their Kaizen activity. Sure, you never want to stop. And personally, I'm not a big believer in Six Sigma, but I mean, if you look at that theory, it does say that statistically you reach a point of diminishing returns. And I think in that case, you're almost left with no choice, to then look at advanced manufacturing techniques at IIoT and so on. I'll put it to you this way. You don't see, factories, a textile mill, you don't see them running today with the same technology that they used 150 years ago. They wouldn't be able to compete at scale.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about business model innovation. What is that?
Okay, this, I'll give you an example, was a client we had in China, and they were trying to build capability and capacity because they were growing fast, more than 100%, you know, growth per year. So what it became there was a combination of developing a technical, you know, center of technological excellence in-house, which could not only focus on R&D, but also process improvement in-house. And then outside of that, developing an outside manufacturing program. But for the first time, they started to deal with suppliers or with outside manufacturers in their immediate area, add capability to what they were doing without the direct capital cost of needing to buy, add a whole new line to their factory or to expand the footprint of their factory. And what this allowed them to do was to keep up with demand and growth while not having the kind of sunk cost that they had in terms of building a whole new wing to their factory and then putting new equipment in there. Next step, though, and this is part of where the innovation comes in, is that you need to know when to flick that switch, because there's going to be a certain point when something is going to be strategic and you need to have it in-house. And then there's going to be another point where, let's say, you're dealing with the outside manufacturer so much that maybe you want to take that from a supplier, you know, relationship to kind of a joint venture. And those are sort of the strategic questions that a board would need to have. So the technological center can help for the technology aspect of it. So what processes or products are strategic? And then there's, you know, at the board level, from the finance and also from your operations team, looking at, you know, how are we leveraging our suppliers and do we try to move closer to them in some way?
Okay. So there's also the option of machines as a service. So mm-hmm. How does that differ from, you know, having an outside manufacturing process?
This would be very much one where you have the process in-house. What you're doing is you're not buying the machines and having them on site full time. In fact, I'll give you an example. This would be a client we had in Thailand. And it's kind of an interesting case. Granted, it doesn't work in every industry because there are some industries, let's say steel mills, where it's capital intensive and the machines that you're using can't be easily rolled in or rolled off the factory floor. But in this case, you know, it was a garment factory and they actually won an award for excellence in lean transformation. And what they did is they were able to adjust their production cells as needed by flexing short-term rentals of equipment. And it's not just sewing machines. These were laser cutting machines and other machines and then flexible leasing options. What that allowed them to do, and granted, they were still manufacturing in Bangkok, which for garments is a high-cost place today. It sounds ironic, you know, in the U.S., right, or in Canada, but Bangkok is considered a high-cost place compared to, you know, a place like of manufacturing in Bangladesh, for example. But it allowed them to focus on highly technical garment production and then have the machines they needed for certain orders when they needed them. From a lean perspective, this is great because you're not really having to manage the downtime with those machines. So the machine availability is much, much better and your overall efficiency is much better.
Mm-hmm. And I guess if you get a particular order where you need something specific, but you don't think that that order is ever going to require that again, why buy equipment to do that? And why reject exactly. the opportunity so you just rent the equipment so you can and then move on?
Now, keep in mind, this, as I said, this doesn't work for everybody. If you're in an industry, you know, I'll give you an example, corrugator. Sure, there are processes on the upstream and in the downstream that you can kind of add, but your basic line is there and it's fixed and it's a big piece of equipment and it's a massive capital investment. But even there are maybe things, depending on the order, where you can bring in and bring out of the factory as needed instead of having to make that long-term investment for something that might be a one-off production.
You're listening to the Make It Right podcast, and my guest has been Greg Thomas, Managing Director at 375 Park Associates. They're a strategic growth advisory firm that helps private equity firms investing in middle market companies overcome challenges in their portfolio. We've been discussing options manufacturers can use to improve and grow their businesses, such as advanced manufacturing techniques and business model innovation. These are particularly useful when huge capital investment is not an option. We'll be continuing our conversation next week when we discuss machines as a service and revenue sharing, as well as a few other options. I hope you'll join us then. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks for listening to the Make It Right podcast.